And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Four of them are doctors, three of them play drums. Two try to give advice when you only need one. But when you want someone to pick you up from school, five dads in the pickup line and some grounds for ridicule. She's got too many dads, and they're all quite
welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Saturday, June 10th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, I got a few dads. I got Tass Mellis.
Saturday dad problems today, I'll tell you that.
And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, super dad, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live here on the weekend. On YouTube, we love to see it. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. I saw some people here in the stream team saying, this is the first time I've ever seen you guys live on YouTube. I'm usually driving to work like a dad. So we appreciate it for swinging by. Make sure you subscribe. Go get your No Dunks merch as well over at nodunks.com. Your t-shirts, your hoodies, your mugs, and your hats. Okay, we got lots to talk about. Some NBA news. We had a weird trade that went down yesterday. But we are here to break down Game 4 of the NBA Finals. The Nuggets, one win away, Tass, from the franchise's first NBA championship after the 108-95 win against the Heat in Game 4 of the Finals last night. We had a blast on playback. Balanced team effort here from the Nuggets, but a good guard, Aaron Gordon, leading the way with 27 points. He's sort of the main story from this one. But what'd you think?
Yeah, the supporting cast is 100% the story. The Heat did a pretty good job, I thought, of pestering Jamal Murray, just being in his face. I thought Gabe Vincent did a pretty good job of that. They figured if we cut off the head of the snake, that we can win this game. Mm-hmm. They did a damn good job. Murray was not in his rhythm all night. His worst shooting night of the NBA Finals, by far, 5 of 17. Jokic didn't really have his flow either. He banged home a few threes, for sure. His worst shooting night of the NBA Finals. He even got an own goal credited to him, too,
right,
when the Heat banged one home for him. They needed the supporting cast to step up. And they did it, even with Jokic on the bench in the final few minutes. And we'll get to that, but Aaron Gordon was just damn phenomenal.
Amazing.
He didn't hit a basket until the second quarter. And from the second to the fourth quarter, he was 11 of 13, just capitalizing on all the attention on Murray, especially. He was doing a lot of the creeping on the baseline, you know, like a teenager scared of his dad, creeping in at 4 a.m. just on the baseline. And then, boom, they found him over and over and over again. And I said, Jokic on the bench in the fourth quarter with 5 fouls from the 9-minute mark to about the 4-minute mark. Huge buckets from Aaron Gordon. Jamal Murray found him when the Heat shrunk the lead to 6 points. Gordon found underneath and he scored over Caleb Martin. He was just using his size. Michael Malone said he put his hard hat on. That's exactly what he did. I didn't know when he came over from Orlando 2 years ago if he could be this type of player, if he could be just this, not like an anti-finesse type of guy. Like, he wanted to be a star. He made a rap song about Dwayne Wade screwing him over in the dunk contest. And then all of a sudden, he becomes this guy who just capitalized on the size advantage and just being a bully. And was a monster.
Yeah.
He hit 3 threes. His 4th three was at the end of a shot clock, too. So the miss, I should say, was at the end of a shot clock. So just got scorching hot. And then Bruce Brown, he gets, yes, Aaron Gordon the storyline, but Bruce Brown's kind of overlooked here. Huge fourth quarter points.
Huge.
He had the most points of any Nugget in the fourth quarter, yeah, with 11 points. Four makes in the last 6 minutes of this game. Again, when I said Jokic, those minutes, five-plus minutes, those are usually when the Nuggets lose this game, mm-hmm, or lose their lead.
But they lost it by 1 point.
Yeah.
I think, they were up 10, the Nuggets were, when he went out, and when he came back, they were up 9.
Yeah, 9:41 to 4:09, 5.5 minutes. No problem, because the guys like Aaron Gordon and Bruce Brown, Bruce Brown's a guy coming off the bench making 6 mil and has just fit in so well. 8 of 11 from the field, 21 points. He had 21 points in this game. Huge supporting cast production,
yeah,
for sure.
Aaron Gordon, career playoff high with 27 points. He's played in nearly 40 playoff games, so pretty impressive to do that in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
He banged home the three threes, like you said. He had three lobs that he finished, some of them dunks. That one that Jokic threw to him, he just like flipped it over his head, showing off the athleticism. 7 boards, 6 assists as well. We talked about Aaron Gordon after game 3, how impressed we were with his game. He didn't fill up the box score, but he was contributing across the board. He is doing an incredible either Iguodala or Wiggins impersonation here. That's what he's gone on. Sort of, mm-hmm, when you look at his career even, as those guys were like the lead guys,
absolutely,
on their teams, you know, that didn't have a lot of success. Oh, can they be a number one? Well, maybe not. And then, of course, they make, both of those guys make their way to the Warriors, where you're playing with like superstars. You fall into your role, play defense, contribute across the board. And that's what I think AG is doing here. He was a plus 29 last night. Statitudes pointed out, highest such figure in a finals game in 5 years. You had to go back to Kevin Durant, who was a plus 30 in the 2018 finals. Amazing. And AG's regularly guarding the opponent's best offensive player, as he has throughout the postseason here. And according to ESPN Stats and Info, opponents have shot under 40% from the field and under 28% from three when Aaron Gordon is the primary defender in these 19 playoff games. So he has been phenomenal. And yeah, they needed that last night. They needed Bruce Brown and his 21 points in the fourth quarter, because the Heat took away Jamal Murray, at least the scoring aspect, though he was doing a great job of playmaking, and I know we'll get to that. And then Jokic with the ankle injury there and the foul trouble. I mean, the finals ended last night in that 5-minute stretch, right? It was there for the Heat to take to tie this series up 2-2,
absolutely,
to possibly even win the whole thing. But I don't think, and I don't think many people out there think, they're coming back like the 2016 Cavs from a 3-1 deficit, and maybe not even coming back to Miami for a game 6.
Doesn't feel that way.
No.
This would be a rare feat. The Nuggets haven't faced an elimination game so far in the postseason. That doesn't happen very often for a champ to not face an elimination game. It happens very, very infrequently. Last team to do that, a Warriors team, a Kevin Durant Warriors team, 2017. And then the team before that, the 99 Spurs.
Holy
champs
crap.
That don't face an elimination game. Thanks to Adam Reisinger for that stat.
That's amazing.
But yeah, in the last 25 years, just two teams, and the Nuggets could be the third. And it sure feels that way, because Michael Malone had so much faith in his supporting cast. Because that was scary times, I think. You know, earlier in the season for the Nuggets, the non-Jokic minutes, but they found their way, especially against this Heat team that can't make them pay with size. So they say, all right, Jokic to the bench. And we're not bringing Thomas Bryant in for you. We're not bringing DeAndre Jordan in for you. We're just sticking to what we do best. And Aaron Gordon basically as the center, Jeff Green sort of as a center. Jeff Green hit a huge three in that stretch. Yeah, to lose that 5.5 minutes by 1 point,
That was
definitely the game. And yeah, a huge amount of faith going into that team. It was sort of Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon pick and roll time, and they just found it from there. You said Murray, 12 assists, 0 turnovers.
Huge.
That doesn't happen very often in the NBA either. And it's, you know, did he get some of those, hey, I'm throwing it out to the 3-point line, And the guy bangs it home and he gets an assist?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Jokic with that 29-footer, that one that was way deep. We saw the 29-foot little caption or whatever you want to call it on the floor come up on ABC as he banged home that three. Did Murray deserve an assist for that? Nah. But whatever. He's had double-digit assists in all four finals games.
I know. And he's not really – I don't even look at him as the point guard on this team.
Right.
But he's doing an incredible job. He's like – I know he finishes 5 of 17. He missed some shots that he usually makes. And the Heat do try and take it away. They've trapped him a lot more, blitzed him as we talked about in game three we saw. But even then, he was still just making the right play. Like, he for a guy that can hit incredible tough shots, he really didn't force a lot last night.
That's true.
He's like, all right, they're taking me out of the play. That's their game plan. Let's make the simple pass and let these other guys, step up. So that's how you get to 12 assists. And, yeah, some of them of the variety where you just kick it to a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And they knock it down. But, still, the plan was to sort of slow him. As it should have been. I mean, I agree with that Spo's thinking here. But these other guys stepped up, especially Aaron Gordon.
You're right. That's what Spo wanted. And he said, anybody else can beat us. And then the stats bear out that they did. Yeah. The Nuggets shot 12 for 19 off passes from Jamal Murray. That's a damn good percentage.
There you go.
So when they shot the ball immediately, 12 of 19, including 7 of 11 on threes. Yeah, the Nuggets collapsed, and boom, boom, boom. Four straight 10-assist games. Only Magic Johnson has a longer streak in finals history, and he was doing it to everybody. 4 to Jokic, 3 to Gordon, that one that was really key there midway through the fourth, a couple to Porter, a couple to Brown, and one to Jeff Green, also in that stretch at the end.
Yeah, that's right, because Denver goes into the fourth quarter up 13. I think Aaron Gordon had finished the third quarter with a 3 in the corner. So they're up 13. It's like, okay, Miami has to come out to start this quarter or this thing is a wrap. They do. They play with some desperation. They scored the first 8 points. Suddenly we have a game. Then Jokic picks up the, questionable fifth foul, which we would be going nuts about here this morning if the Heat go on to win this, right?
Yeah.
The Bam flop, which he did. He sold the hell out of it.
Of course he did.
But Jokic has 5 fouls. He goes to the bench, like you said, about 9:30 left or so. And then... suddenly it is a 5-point game. Jimmy had that and one inside, and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then, Jamal Murray hits a big three, silences the crowd. Then he finds Aaron Gordon on that funny little lob pass inside. AG just too big. He had a pump fake party in there.
Yep.
He scored. And then off the Murray pass, Jeff Green bangs home a huge corner three, pushes the lead back to 11, a little more breathing room. And then KCP playing great defense sort of near the end of that little stretch, sort of locked up on successive possessions, Jimmy and Bam. So he contributed on the defensive end. And after it was all said and done, it was like, here comes Jokic. And it's like, they didn't really cut into the lead all that much. And once he came back, then it was like, okay, good night. I mean, that was it. That was the finals right there for the Heat, in my opinion.
Yeah, and so people were panicking at that 9:40 mark where Michael Malone decides not to challenge that flop.
Right.
Jokic's
right.
Fifth foul. But it's one of those scenarios where there was contact, and so it's difficult. It would be really, really difficult for the referee to overturn that.
I don't think they would have overturned it. I think he played it wisely.
Yeah.
He obviously had faith in his team. We kept wondering on playback, when does he bring him back?
Yeah.
Especially when it got to 5, and it was like, whoa, oh man, there was some momentum going there for Jimmy and the Heat, and he just rode it out. These guys hit 3, so it makes it a little easier. Yeah. Right?
Half of the fourth quarter, he's got his best player on the bench just sitting there, and I thought he would have just the faith in Jokic, because why wouldn't you have the faith in Jokic not to foul? And because in the Lakers series,
right,
when LeBron got 2 fouls, drew 2 fouls on Jokic to give him his fifth foul about midway through the fourth, they allowed Jokic to just ride it out on the floor. And Jokic wasn't playing as hard defensively to get that sixth, but they just wanted him out there, wanted his presence out there on the offensive end. Incredible stuff. They just had the confidence in Murray's passing ability, just doing a great job, not turning it over. He really, really played within himself. So even though it was a 5 of 17 line, a bad shooting night, really. A lot in and out. He just had a masterful, floor general type game.
Yep. The Heat have tried almost every coverage to stop this squad. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are just a clearly better team because, like I said, they've trapped pick and rolls. They've played drop coverage at times. They've obviously played some zone. They've switched. They have Butler and Bam. I don't want us to forget this. Two of the league's best defenders at their positions. At the guard/wing position with Jimmy, obviously Bam is a center. Those two guys are on the Nuggets' best players. They're locked in on Murray and Jokic. There's no, like, hiding, you know, Jimmy on someone else. The same for the offensive end. You know, Bam obviously going to be matched up against Jokic because he's, like, the biggest guy they have. And none of these things I just listed have really worked for more than a handful of possessions in a row. Mm-hmm. So, and that just, like, you know, just goes to the credit to these two guys, the levels they're operating at right now, the way they're seeing the floor, their basketball IQ, everybody helping out. I mean, Malone, obviously, for putting them in the right spots. Caspo's tried it. They've tried a lot of things here. And, yeah, they got hot from three for that one game in game two. And maybe that's what it comes down to. They just need, like, three light-out games here from deep
right.
to give them a chance, because this was another game where they sucked. Sucked when it came to shooting the three. 8 of 25. 8 bad, 25 three-point attempts bad, too, as the Nuggets try and take that away from them.
Yeah, they did a good job doing that. Yeah, we saw Jokic and Murray hot enough in game three to steal it with that those incredible lines, the 30-point triple-doubles, and then just able to just pass off to these other guys to do the job in this one. Just incredible acquisitions by Tim Connolly, who's now in Minnesota and has a piece of that team. Kind of weird that they could win a championship here. The guy who built the team just left before this season.
That's a good point.
He made some incredible acquisitions to get Aaron Gordon on the squad. You know, it is an Andre Iguodala type acquisition, and this team has been built to win. And here they are beating Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, who I liked. What Spoelstra did, played the more minutes. This was a must-win game. Played them nearly, 45 for both of them. And matched up Bam, as you said, has to be the guy guarding Jokic. Matched up those minutes a little bit differently in this one. Smart. But they just couldn't get enough offensively in the end. Jimmy, as incredible as he is, he hasn't had a takeover game here in the finals. The Nuggets, number one. Their length is bothersome. Jokic being around all the time because they're playing drop coverage is bothersome, and it's just hard to do to be a takeover guy series after series after series.
He's played a lot of minutes here in this postseason. I believe he's the leader in postseason minutes.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify how much it's worn him down, but it's had to worn him down. He was limping off the floor in that conference finals. They played seven games. And I think it does play a factor. We're seeing
Aaron
one game.
Gordon on him too. Let's not gloss over it. Like, no, he's a big ass dude.
They're looking.
He bullied other guys. Jimmy did in these other series.
Yeah. No, there's. I know he hunts Jamal Murray. And he hunts KCP.
Yeah.
But even those guys. Jamal Murray came into this series. You know, I was there watching him in the pregame press conference before this series, and he was basically he kind of called out Jimmy Butler in a way, saying he's gonna throw his body around, he's gonna flop around and try and get calls. He was up for the task, and he's there physically. He had LeBron going at him last round in the conference finals, as you know, they got the switches to get Jamal Murray going. So he's taken some pride in this, and it's hard for Butler to find a great matchup in this series. He was decent in this game, but in the fourth he couldn't really get it going. So 25 for him. He had that spurt at the end of the first quarter that looked good, but he hasn't had a 30-point game in a while since game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And you got to figure the matchup length is just a problem everywhere. There's length everywhere on this freaking team. Mm-hmm. And and just a lot of minutes, as you said.
15 turnovers didn't help Miami Heat last night either. Led to 17 Nugget points, which, I mean, like, look, they had that awesome Game 3 where they never turned the ball over and still lost. And then they have, like, 10-plus more than they did in Game 3. That's going to hurt. And they just can't shoot at home. They shot 45% last night from the field, 8 of 25 from 3, like I said. And the starting backcourt, Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, another brutal game. 1 for 10. These two guys combine. No three-pointers from them. Max Strus is shooting 16% here in the finals. And I saw a Fast Break Breakfast tweet last night that Max Strus, Taz, has scored in two quarters in this series. Two quarters. We are now through game four here. He's played a lot. He's played in every quarter, I think. Mm-hmm. That's rough. I mean, this is a starter on your team who's obviously contributed throughout the postseason and regular season, and he can't score. And a lot of these guys are just struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, he had that hot quarter where he hit four threes. But starting backcourt, giving you 2 points. It's rough. You know, Lowry came in and was pretty damn good.
Did some Lowry things for sure.
Yeah, he did as much as he possibly could. He contributed. Duncan Robinson also a dozen points. Caleb Martin, 11 points off the bench. Pretty good bench production when you look at it that way, but not enough starter production. Even Kevin Love had a spurt. What, he scored 9 straight? That's all you can ask of Kevin Love. It would have been nice to get a little bit more backcourt help, for sure, from those two guys. Gabe started this series strong. Both those guys trying to get paid this offseason, Vincent and Strus. But it was, they've kind of lost it. They've just lost it a little bit.
Is there any way we see Tyler Hero on Monday? Or no at this point?
Throw it out there, huh?
I mean, what do you have to lose?
Yeah. The finals. But yes.
Oh, man, you're going to lose the finals.
No, I know. I hear what you're saying. It's just so weird. Again, my untrained eye was there watching him. He looked good pregame. He looked good going against Omer Yurtseven and the backup Miami Heat assistant coaches and the backups of the backups. But I don't know. I guess I'm kind of with you. I think you're saying just why the heck not? Yeah, this guy is literally a walking bucket hat. No, he is a walking bucket.
Right.
So why not?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Random notes from this one. How about that game delay we had? Where Bam, hanging on the rim, a little too long. He like did a second hang on it while he was up there on that putback dunk attempt and bent the rim and was, off kilter. Was it who tried to bring it back? Was it Jokic?
Jokic, yeah.
Yeah, Jokic.
He looked at it.
His weight trying to get it back down.
Yeah.
But then, you know, out come the ladders. Up go the guys in the suits. I guess it didn't take all that long. I couldn't really tell. We were having too much fun on playback, just chopping it up. But yeah, this is the third game this year that the Nuggets have been involved in this type of incident.
Yeah, usually.
How weird is that?
Both of the first games were at home, right?
Yeah.
Both in Denver.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we ridiculed the employee in Denver for just being in a hat and like sweats. I don't know which I like better. Suit guy come helping out?
I wouldn't want to be going up and down a ladder in a suit. I mean, I sort of felt bad for the guy.
Yeah.
But they got taken care of pretty quickly.
Yeah, it felt fast. I think while we were watching playback, somebody in the stream said 8 minutes.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, and then there was the incident with this woman.
Uh-huh.
Did we ever find out what happened? No. I didn't see a single thing in my reading.
Somebody wheelchaired off.
Yeah. Like, was it... Yeah, did they pass out? Did they fall? Were they just drunk? Were they feeling well? That was weird.
She seemed to be with it when she was in the wheelchair. But that was an up and down 8 minutes.
Yeah. We were like, who's this going to help?
Yeah.
We were trying to figure that out. It's like, I mean, is it good for... Yeah, we didn't know. You never know with that. You just know it's going to be a story until it's not. You know, like if a team rips off a run, oh, wow, that delay helped them. And there wasn't really anything from that.
Yeah, these
Nuggets continued to play well.
Exactly. They're locked in.
Yeah. Nuggets are the 37th team in NBA history to own a 3-1 series lead in the finals. Only one of those previous 36 teams went on to lose the finals. Everybody knows who they are. 2016 Golden State Warriors with the Cavs coming back. But yeah, you got to be, I guess, just a diehard Miami Heat fan to think they're coming back, because the Nuggets just look like the clearly better team. And... they haven't even played all that great in some of these games and still pull out the victories. But Malone pointed out the defense last night. I mean, that was the thing. Like, yeah, flowers to AG, flowers to Bruce Brown. But it's the defense that's, like, doing a great job, taking away the three-pointers. Obviously, you know, showing up the defensive glass. They're just playing great. They're all committed to that. And they are definitely holding themselves, you know, throughout this postseason run, if we're being honest, just with this team that knows we're better than all these teams. If we just play our game, and they don't, like, you know, highs and lows don't really exist with this team, it feels like.
No.
They're just very composed, and that's probably, you know, I guess we saw a little emotion from Jokic when he did a weird little celebration on the sideline after one of those threes during the run when he was off.
For
the most part, they've been pretty even keeled.
Yeah, seeing Jokic extremely pumped, very rare. It's never for himself. It's always when a teammate bangs one home. As he says, what's the line? A pass makes two people happy. Or an assist makes two people happy.
Yes.
Deep thoughts. Check out our video. We did a deep thoughts with Jack Handy video about Nikola Jokic's quotes. Because he's full of them, and he was full of life only when somebody else scores. But as you said, they're steady. It's hard not to compare to the Tim Duncan Spurs. Like, you are led by a very steady guy in Jokic who doesn't get too high and too low. And here they are. You know, go through four rounds. Potentially here without an elimination game. I mean, yeah, they are ridiculously steady. Home court helps. A nice home court advantage in the finals versus a team that didn't have a better record than them. Again, it broke pretty nicely that the top three teams in the Eastern Conference didn't get to the finals because they all had a better record than the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, but there's and part of that is because Denver Nuggets like took their foot off the gas at the end of the regular season.
And we all said, what is this? What is this blip?
Right.
Are they actually, you know, taking some time off? Are they riding their horses off into the sunset? But no. Yeah, they feel great. And yeah, Michael Malone is on this team and pushing the right buttons. You said the defense. That was his pregame speech.
Yeah.
He said, no one's given our defense credit. It's like he had a playbook. Like, first game, we got to come out here and win. Game number three, he said to Jeff Green, how many finals you've been in? How many finals you've been in? Just, you know, trying to imply that you don't get here every time. And then this time it was the defense. And so all three wins, he's had a line and it's worked. And it's not the sexy thing to talk about. Defense ain't the sexy thing to talk about. But that's how they win, for sure. 8 of 25, as you said, from the three-point line. I can't remember, for the first time in the series, I think, a lot of open threes.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there are some open threes that they were clanking.
Yeah.
And this one,
they felt attached.
They felt ready.
Nothing felt easy for the Miami Heat when they scored.
Agreed.
You know, we had the Grift King, Kyle Lowry doing his best, you know, getting to the line, you know, grabbing and doing all his things and you know, selling some contact. But, like, it just felt like a slog.
Yeah.
And that's credit to the Nuggets defense, no doubt. So do you think this is ending on Monday night?
Yes.
Do you think this is over? I know you had the Nuggets in five, so why wouldn't you continue with your prediction? But you think they'll
feels
take care
that,
of business?
It feels that
Wouldn't
way.
It be a very Miami Heat thing to win?
Got them right where they want them.
Right when we say they're done, it's over.
Yeah.
Take that final nail, put it in the coffin, and they pop up like the Undertaker. No, I'm with you. It feels like it's a wrap.
Again, worst shooting game for their best two players in this game. So you expect they bounce back. Like, Jamal Murray had his best game in game three after a meh game two for him. Only 18 points in game two. You'd expect him to bounce back. And same with Jokic. Maybe that ankle injury is a problem. Just feels like, they're stacked with talent and the Heat are a little gassed. And how can you pick the Heat, really?
You only have to pray, I think. Because, like, we keep saying, well, Jimmy's got to have a big Jimmy game. And, you know, Bam's got to play better. And, like, these guys have been asked to do a lot. You know, and for the most part, I think Jimmy's played okay. He has not been elite. Same with Bam. He's been good, maybe not great. But the Heat are only going to win game five if one, two, or three of their guys, their shooters, catch fire. Like, they need Strus to hit a bunch of threes. They need Gabe to hit a bunch of threes. Or Lowry. Or Duncan Robinson. Or Caleb Martin. Like, they have five or six guys. I mean, maybe Tyler Hero. Who knows? They need one of those, two of those guys to just have those games where they hit three, four, five, whatever, from deep. Because they need those points. They need the math in their favor from deep. And then maybe they can get it back to Miami. But you wouldn't bet on that right now. It wouldn't at all. But maybe you do out there. I don't know.
Yeah, and Spoelstra's pulling out every sort of move. Jimmy Butler always plays the first 12 minutes. And in this game, he sat after about 7 minutes and 20 seconds. So he could come back before the first quarter ended for the first time in this series and play against the bench unit a little bit more. And it worked. He hit, what was it, 5 points? No, it was 7. Right before the end of the first quarter, got that little run going to actually give the Heat the lead going into the second quarter. And then he had to play 45 minutes for the first time. They're gassing him. I mean, they're exhausting every single option here. Mm-hmm. And that other team is just too good.
My only other stat from last night, slow start to this game. Miami led 21-20. Yeah, Miami was up at the end of the first quarter somehow. 41 combined points, the fewest in the first quarter since game four of the Raptors-Warriors series in 2019, which only had 40 points in that game four. So low scoring affair there in the first quarter. Picked up as it went on a little bit, but yeah. The first 6 minutes of that game were rough.
There was maybe some nervousness.
Maybe.
That was the Serge Ibaka game, right, in game four?
I think so, yeah.
The second half where he was scorching hot.
Perfect in the third quarter.
Finished with 21 that we had forgotten about until you went through those unheralded performances on Friday's show.
Does Bruce Brown suddenly make that list? We had Christian Brown in game three. Bruce Brown, how many minutes did he end up playing last night? Obviously had 21 points, 11 in the fourth.
Yeah, it's getting overshadowed because of Aaron Gordon's performance, because we want to talk about in order, Jokic, Murray, and then somebody else. Oh, Gordon had 27? That's good, but Yeah, 21 points in 29 minutes. And we didn't even mention
29 minutes. He just missed the arbitrary cutoff I had of 28 minutes.
Oh, okay. So he's not going to make this arbitrary list.
No.
And we didn't even say MPJ's name at all, who played well. He missed some, obviously. The shot's just weird. He doesn't have his shot. He's 4 of 10 in this game.
That's great for him.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. But you're right. He missed some more bunnies. No threes. He did have a dunk. Did get a couple inside around the rim. But he was better defensively. You know, he wasn't being completely, like, taken off the floor on that end. Thought he was at least, like everybody for the Nuggets. Malone got through to them. Like, let's go take both of these here in Miami.
And he
we
passed.
Do with defense. And he did pass. That was the most I've seen him pass all season.
Exactly.
If like, three or four times.
Yeah, the bad stat would be if he was, you know, 5 of 15. But he was able to just, you know, not get selfish.
Yep.
Not get ahead of himself. Not try and shoot himself out of the slump. And he moved the ball. If there was a pass column in the box score, I think this would probably be his highest number, even though he didn't play a lot of the games here in the finals, because he didn't force it.
I will admit, though, because we said it all postseason long, especially me and Trey, like we had Michael Porter Jr. as the ultimate X factor to the Nuggets championship. Right? If he plays well, they could do this. If he doesn't, probably not. And he played really well during the entire postseason run until the finals. But he's been horrible, and they're up 3-1.
I mean,
to the point where he's like even getting taken off the floor at times. So it's crazy, just the depth of this squad, and everybody that is playing for the most part is contributing outside of him struggling with a shot. And even KCP played better last night, hitting a couple shots off the top of my head. I think he had a couple threes.
He did.
Anything else from game 4 last night?
No, it was first shot, I think, of Nikola Jokic's wife, though. I'll add that in. I don't think we've ever seen her in the seats. I think it was on his deep three that he hit. Camera panned to her. Huge clap. Huge clap. Behind every man is a strong woman, and she was there. You could see the ferocity. She's intense.
She's very intense.
Yes. She wants these Ws, even though I'm sure, like Jokic, she doesn't want the spotlight. She probably hates that anybody would ever talk about her or that they showed her in the crowd. But I don't think she usually sits.
Well, she's generally there.
She's
but
there.
They just don't show her.
Yeah, maybe they just don't show her.
I mean, there
her.
Were people on playback. I couldn't tell if people were kidding or not, but I don't think they were. Like, some people were like, Jokic is married?
Right.
Jokic has a kid?
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it. Like, people were like, what?
Well, Jimmy Butler talked about his kid, too. He's done a good job of keeping that on the down low.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Too many dads. Anything else, my man?
No, that was great.
Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, a bunch of NBA news, so don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, here in the Classic Factory on a weekend. Thanks to everybody for joining us live on YouTube. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. We've talked about Game 4 of the NBA Finals. We'll talk more about Game 5 on Monday's pod. But we do have some NBA news. We've got ourselves a trade involving absolutely not a single player. But according to Woj, the Denver Nuggets have acquired a 2024 first and second round pick and a 2023 second round pick in a deal with the OKC Thunder for a protected 2029 first round pick way in the future, Tess. What do you think about this? These picks being traded between the Nugs, who are, in the NBA Finals, and the Thunder.
Yeah, that was the first shocking thing. They're in the finals.
People are like, can you do this?
Yeah.
Is this legal?
You can. It is.
It's weird. It's rare.
The trade deadline happens in February.
Yep.
But I guess the deadline stops at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It ends. Because the draft day usually is when the deals happen. You want me to take this one? Or you did a great job yesterday on playback of breaking this down.
Well, I think you can see what both teams are doing.
Absolutely.
Here, which is why this trade makes sense. From the Nuggets side of things, they are getting the least favorable of OKC's first round pick in the 2024 draft. They'll have the 37th pick and the 40th pick in this year's draft. And so they're doing this because they are hoping to get, you know, low-cost contracts by finding some guys in the draft that they can add to their team to help navigate their, you know, very expensive squad, the luxury tax, with Jokic, Murray, and Michael Porter Jr., and those three guys making a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need, especially with the second apron and how you'll be penalized and how tough it'll be to add, you know, guys like vets to your squad and stuff like that. You need to hit these draft picks. It's going to become very, very important. So a couple more bites at the apple, right?
That's it.
From OKC side of things, they got a million of these. So it's like, space them out. You know, do you need 10 first round picks, it feels like, in one particular draft? No. So, if, you know, who knows what's happening in 2029? Will we even be here, Tess? I don't want to go, you know, down a rabbit hole, get dark, but way we're going. Oh, the smoke and this.
Oh, okay. World, just,
you
know, overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at this desk, I thought you meant first.
God, I hope so. If we are alive, we'll be at this desk. But the Thunder owned...
Bury me at this desk.
The Thunder owned 15 first-round picks now through the 2029 draft. So they're just, like, spacing them out. I don't know what the protection is on this 2029 first-round pick.
Yeah, that's like, a good call.
Top five?
Yeah, I thought it was top five for some reason. But
okay.
I could be incorrect about that.
Because OKC still owns Denver's top five protected 2027 first-round pick.
Yes.
Because of the Jamichael Green trade. So maybe you're thinking that with the top five.
I know that the Nuggets also traded away their first-round pick in 2025 to the Orlando Magic for Aaron Gordon.
Right, okay.
But that may not convey that year because there's some, some sort of line on that that says it's top five. Anyways, there's protections on that too, and if it's not conveyed that year, then it goes to 2026, and then that Thunder one gets bumped. Anyway,
right.
Yeah, you're right about the Nuggets just trying to hit and get somebody on the cheap, essentially, because they're paying so much to their top three, which doesn't include Aaron Gordon, who, great extension that he signed, 4 for $92. He is their fourth highest paid player, and then KCP. So yeah, they're just trying to hit.
Can they keep Bruce Brown is the real question.
Yeah, it's up to Bruce Brown, really.
It's up to Bruce Brown, because he could make more money.
He'll make more money somewhere else.
But does he want to try and run it back and maybe build a little dynasty here in Denver?
Yeah, and he's got a player option for 6.8. He could get opt out of that, get a raise, mm-hmm. not a huge raise, and then in the 2024-25 season make more with the Denver Nuggets. You know, he's sort of... maybe take a little less to maybe make more later if he wants to stick with the team.
Or he could opt out, which we think he will anyway, and then make a whole lot more money.
Because the Nuggets are unable to pay him. So, yeah, Sam Presti just taking a calculated risk that the Nuggets will be worse, you know, 6 years from now, and, you know, balancing their draft capital. It's pretty cool to have the foresight to say 2029, I want this happening. It's just balancing out every pick that he has in the cupboard. So.
Yeah, and I think it was Brian Windhorst I heard on a mini podcast this morning, or that they did late last night, you know, saying this to Windhorst, sort of says that the Nuggets are like, oh yeah, we're running this back next year, or we like our chances to continue to build this team we have, this squad, and we need to do, like I said, we need to find your Christian Browns, and, you know, they got Watson there, they're pretty high on. Like, you gotta keep replenishing those young guys and these, like, second round picks and stuff like that. Just cheap contracts that hopefully guys can still contribute when they're asked to, like we saw Brown did in game 3. So
yeah.
Good little trade there, I think.
Ishmael Smith has played for 13 teams, the most in NBA history. Gonna get an NBA title here, but I think he's gonna be playing for a 14th next year just because of how much he makes. $4.7 million. They gotta work around the edges here and find somebody cheaper. So he's gonna take that mark in NBA history to another team, I think. He's pretty wild. He's going to play on another team, I assume, anyway.
DeAndre Jordan's going to have a ring before Chris Paul. How do you feel about that? All right. Our next piece
Classic.
Of news here. Earlier this week, Damian Lillard appeared on a podcast talking about the Heat and Nets as a possible trade destination. That prompted an intense discussion on ESPN's Get Up program featuring McCollum talking at length about the possibilities of a Dame move and why this summer's rumors seemed more intense than past years. And then later, CJ doing the car wash. On First Take, he dropped the money headline here. Quote, CJ McCollum, "The market will dictate what happens here, .. If I was a betting man, I would say this is the last that we've seen of him in Portland, him being Damian Lillard," end quote. What do you think of Dame's buddy here, CJ, former teammate, chiming in with his two cents?
I thought this would make bigger headlines. If I was a betting man, I'd say the impressions on this should have been higher. His teammate saying...
A former teammate, yeah.
Yes. Teammate for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
Saying, I think he's done with the Blazers. That's my guess. Not that he would ask out. But as we talked about earlier this week when Dame did an interview with Brian Custer and he said, oh, those opportunities look pretty good. I still want to be with Portland, but those other opportunities,
yeah
I'd love to play in Miami. Yeah, I'd love to play in Brooklyn, those specific two scenarios.
Because of Bam and Mikhail Bridges?
Because of friends.
His dogs.
His dogs. Won a gold with Bam. And did he win a gold with Bam? He played with
that
him.
Sounds right.
Internationally.
Yeah.
They always get convoluted. Yesterday, we had JD on the playback saying that his son was playing FIBA and not FIFA and got me all confused. I was like, I get confused with the FIBA World Cup and the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm a basketball guy. It just slipped out, FIBA.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't think there's a FIBA game.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't stayed up to date on my video games, but I'm pretty sure he meant FIFA.
Yeah. FIFA.
And I loved how you went off playback, because I do this as well, but you're still lurking in the chat. Like, you're off video, but you're still back there. You know, because he just turned the camera off, and then we started saying FIBA. There's a FIBA game?
Yeah.
He was in career mode in FIBA? I'm also a basketball guy, but FIFA is a far better game than FIBA, if there is a FIBA game.
there isn't.
Probably not. FIFA's a good game, but Dame is pretty open to a move, I'd say. I feel it's feeling more and more Kevin Garnett-like.
Right, you've said
Where we're like, we're at the threshold here. And it might be the threshold for Joe Cronin and the Blazers front office, too. Playing incredible. But how many more incredible years are you going to get where you get the trade value that you could get right this second? I guess I said the same thing last year.
I know.
Probably the year before, but he had an incredible year.
Yeah, so Kevin O'Connor, he says, his sources say Portland's interest in building around Lillard is genuine. So they are continuing to tell us that, at least, or at least the sources are telling that to guys like KOC. Front office, though, is exploring deals for the number three pick, and it's also open to moving Anthony Simons to us.
Mm.
And so that immediately has everybody going, can you get, you know, a Jaylen Brown? Can you get a Siakam? Could you get a Mikhail Bridges? Could you get a player of that caliber for that type of package? Three, Simons, and whatever else it would take to bring like a star player back. So we'll see. I mean, it's funny because this is the most it feels like Dame has sort of not hinted at, but at least talked about going to these other destinations for reasons, but then continues to say he wants to be there, and it feels like Portland doesn't want him to go anywhere. But if that's the case, then they got to do something. Like, as currently constructed, I don't think adding either Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson to the Blazers roster, as it is going to do anything next year, right? They're not going to be competing for a championship.
No.
Well, okay, so that means something has to be done if you're keeping Dame and you're going that way. And what do they have? Well, they have the number three pick, and Simon's a very promising young player that scores a lot and sort of plays a similar position to Dame, yeah.
It's silly season, baby, and I guess trades are allowed now, so let's start talking about them. I can't wait.
Oh, we got all summer, man.
Well, yeah, well, I think every day this, you know, around from the draft to free agency, you know, we should be talking about this stuff because it's interesting. Dame to Brooklyn, as he implied, to go play with Mikhail Bridges. Do they have enough in return? I don't know. I just don't see Brooklyn trading Mikhail Bridges.
I don't either.
So why? Why would that happen? You mentioned we've all talked about the Miami scenario.
Mm-hmm.
What would Miami give up for Dame?
How about Bam? He's a dog.
He's a dog, though. They would literally be like 6-4 and under.
Yeah, I know.
And then if you don't trade Bam, if you play with Jimmy and Bam, Tyler Hero's the biggest name.
Is that really moving the needle?
Pat Riley would have to work something very creative to make that happen, I would say, amongst those two teams.
OG or Siakam, it starts to make some sense to me from the Blazers side of things, right? And then from the Raptors side of things, like if they're infatuated with a guard that can score, reports say Van Vliet and Gary Trent Jr. are gone. So they're going to need some guards.
Mm-hmm.
You get a young, promising one in Simons. I know people are very high on him or very low on him. It feels like he's a polarizing player, still very young. But maybe something there.
And then, yeah. I feel you with that one. And the Jaylen Brown scenario, just to balance out the team a little bit more. It sounds crazy. But if Jaylen Brown was on the table last year for a potential Kevin Durant deal, now he's 1 year closer to making that max deal, like on the doorstep of making that max deal. I mean, it's a lot to give up, but that would probably be the best player that the Blazers could get.
No disrespect to OG. You could just do Damian Lillard for Jaylen Brown. We could just swap stars, but Dame doesn't want to play in Boston.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't.
The one team he seems to have admitted.
Yeah, and Jason Tatum commented on that. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Just can't be more clear, buddy. You don't want to play in Boston.
We get it, man. We'll see. We'll be talking about it all summer long until nothing happens, and he's just there. All right, Golden State Warriors, they have an uncertain offseason. Obviously, Bob Myers, their front office head honcho, he's gone. They got this looming second luxury tax apron coming up for everybody. But the franchise appears committed to maximizing the title window here around Steph Curry, and they are expected to remain as competitive as possible. This is from Tim Kawakami at The Athletic, obviously plugged in with the Warriors. Quote, I think the most likely scenario is that the Warriors keep most of this together for at least one more season. That's what Curry wants. His opinion sort of matters. End quote there from Kawakami at The Athletic. This was part of a mailbag that Tim did. And the question was the direction of the Warriors. And there being a lot of talk about trading Poole or Wiggins or Kuminga for another sort of aging star, let's say, to push for one more title. But couldn't they go the other direction and see you later, Dre, see you later, maybe Clay, and sort of try and stay viable over a longer period.
Mm-hmm.
But that was him answering to, Tim's answer to this, that he thinks, because of Curry mainly, like, man, we're going to bring the band back together here.
And the band means Clay. Playing beside him, and it's likely Draymond.
That's what it means, for sure.
I just want to know what the contract is with the Draymond scenario, but yeah, it's all lining up for a last dance, I think, because Clay is off the books at the end of next season, the 23-24 season.
So Steve Kerr and Clay will be entering contract years.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's awesome. Phil Jackson-esque, like Kerr's mentor, one of his mentors, I guess. So kind of feels like it's all lining up. You were questioning, I think we all were questioning, the Bob Myers leaving. Does that mean the end of this team?
Right.
But I don't know. Last year kind of felt like the last dance, but that was coming off a championship. Now this is the last dance. I think they're going back one more time. But the Draymond question is huge for me because that's the only guy they really have to sign. But it really felt like with Bob Myers leaving, like that was the first piece to this thing dismantling. You think they're coming back for one more?
I think they probably will, but as currently constructed, I don't have a lot of faith in them to win another title. Like with the age really showing for your Draymonds and your Clays, unless, you know, Fountain of Youth suddenly is installed there in the Bay. I don't, like, because they've tried to do the whole, we got the young guys and we're going to blend them into obviously our champion guys, and they've done a poor job of that.
It hasn't worked out so far, but they tried that. They got rid of Wiseman, and they didn't get to this next evolution of their team until like 20 games into the season. Then they went and got back Gary Payton II. Wiggins was gone for
a long time.
Wiggins
was gone. That is a big part of this equation. That is fair.
Can Kuminga grow a little bit? You know, Moody has shown he's solid. I'm buying it.
Oh. There goes that light.
That light is moody
for
sure. That
light doesn't want to work on a weekend. Also, they could move Jordan Poole. I mean, that could be a piece that you actually trade. His value probably went down quite a bit during this postseason.
If you don't want to do the two timelines.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just to get another piece to really push for a title here, if this is what they're talking about doing here. And, you know, when you got Curry on your team, you are in the running. That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, get over there. JD's fixing it right now. It's all right. You can deal with us in a little bit of the dark here. Final one here, Tass.
Yeah, I thought this one was important. You want to talk about
really
old guys.
You were really interested about this one, so I'm interested to hear your take, because I wasn't even going to put it in. But Bucks forward Chris Middleton, he underwent successful surgery on his right knee shortly after the playoffs to address an issue that plagued him during the past season. Middleton is expected to fully recover, should be back on the court come July. So it was not a major surgery here. Per the Athletic sources, cleanup procedure to his right knee was planned and scheduled prior to the season coming to a close. Mm-hmm. So yeah, why'd you want this one in here? Talk Middleton a little bit to me.
Well, this is a guy who's the second best player on a championship team 2 years ago. He's got a $40 million option, over $40 million option coming up. He just had another surgery coming off a season where he was injured. He was in all the meetings with Giannis Antetokounmpo when they were courting a head coach and Adrian Griffin. He was part of that, so he's seemingly part of the future there. But he's in his 30s, another surgery. He's getting older. Brook Lopez, really old. He's a free agent. This team has just gotten older real quick. And they were old last year when they had Drew Middleton and Brook Lopez, three starters in their 30s. So I guess we're talking about the Warriors in a similar way, besides Giannis Antetokounmpo. But this team wants to win a championship right now. And I just wonder how healthy Chris Middleton's going to be. I know this was a planned surgery, but anytime you go in, it's not a good sign. And I saw Nate Robinson, former NBA player, say this guy could be done.
Whoa.
Does that mean anything? Does Nate Robinson know something? Maybe yes, maybe no. But he is obviously part of the future here because he was in all those meetings with Adrian Griffin. This is their number two guy. This guy is really, really important.
Yeah.
And he couldn't be himself in the playoffs. And that's why they got bounced. If he was excellent, maybe it's a different scenario. But he wasn't able to get to that level. This is Giannis' prime. And this is his number two guy. And he was key in winning the title. So if he's not anywhere close to where he was, if Nate Robinson is somewhat right even, this is bad news bears for Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks.
Yeah, well, what did Middleton do with this player option, like you said? $40.4 million for the 23-24 season, so next season. And he needs to make a decision on that option by June 21st, so less than 2 weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
Is he opting out, signing a different deal to stay with the Bucks? Is he going somewhere else that feels unlikely, or is he just going to try and just take that totally fair paycheck of $40 million and have a better season? Because I had forgotten, this guy had wrist surgery last offseason, missed a bunch of time at the start of season, comes back, tries to get back in game shape, and then hurts the knee and missed another, basically 18, 19, 20 games, whatever it was. So, yeah, really rough year for him. He only ended up playing like 30 or so games. But maybe he just keeps that final year of that contract and tries to build back up his value. He is 31, is that right? So
right.
But he's a good player.
Oh, he's a very good player. But he didn't have a good season last season.
No.
I mean, his numbers are fine, but he wasn't able to play enough.
No.
Really.
Exactly. So. All right, that's our NBA news roundup. We'll take one more break. Got the lights back on. That's great. Good job, JD. And I've got a couple tweets of the night for you. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Wouldn't you love to travel without the actual, you know, traveling part? For example, I want to go to Lisbon, let's say. I just snap my fingers, I'm there. No driving to the airport, no flight delays, no fools at security who still don't know that, yes, you need to take your laptop out of your bag and place it in the tray. Oh my God, how long have we been doing this? Travel without traveling. I want it both ways, but that's not possible. It is with Mack Weldon, though. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But this is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got it all. I got the Air Knit underwear. I got the Ace Collection sweatpants. I've got the Silver Peak polo. Everything fits perfectly. All I get is compliments. Mack Weldon has figured this stuff out. Because performance fabric usually means clothes that look or feel sort of techy or shiny. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of a busy life. They look like regular clothes, which is good. I want regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with the promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS. Well, JD, you might have to come back and unplug that light because people were enjoying the mood lighting.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. Yeah, maybe we're too bright.
We want an after dark type scenario?
That's right. Sure. I mean, yeah. I hear what they're saying. It's a bright yet dark set. I don't know what to do. I'm not a lighting director.
It's fine. It's fine. What is going on with that light, though? It's been causing us some problems over the last couple
weeks.
I have no
idea. I am also not an electrician or an engineer. But that is my role here.
You do it all, man. You do it all, including playing the sting for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Okay, I got a few tweets for you. First one, from Bleacher Report, Luka looking lean. Photo of Luka Doncic. Potentially looking lean? I mean, okay, sure. Looks great. Looks like an athlete to me. But my favorite part of this was our guy, Alex Wong, at Steven_LeBron. Ben Simmons working out. Dame says he wants to win in Portland. Luka is looking lean. The official start of the NBA offseason is near. That's right. Big facts there. We already talked about Dame. Wants to stay in Portland. Does he? Probably. This Luka photo. And I know you saw the Ben Simmons photo, him working out in a gym, getting his sweat on, shirt off, looking great.
I got to be 100% honest. I didn't see that photo.
Which one?
The Ben.
You're a lucky man, because I did.
I saw one a few weeks ago. I'm always seeing them.
Yeah, man. He's working out.
He was working out his back. Was that the one?
Oh, I saw him playing basketball. Like he, like it was an action shot. He's in the gym.
That's different.
Yeah.
I saw him working out on the what was he? Oh, he was doing rear delt work or whatever. He was pulling back
God.
Muscles. Whatever.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to improve his back. Had back problems.
Show me a photo of him practicing free throws.
What was he doing?
Or
in
a
this?
Video? Like, who gives a shit? He's an athlete. He looks chiseled. Of course, he's in the gym.
Oh, he hurt his back. What was he doing in this workout? You made the tweet.
He was. I don't know. He's driving. What do you mean? He's like dribbling the ball. I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
But this Luka thing, this is just as much bullshit. What are people talking about?
He took a shower. His hair is wet.
I'm like, this is what he looks like. What are they talking about? I don't get this. And we did this stuff last year, too. Oh, the league ain't ready for Luka looking lean. He was in great shape. Remember those photos?
Well, he played in FIBA, right, JD? He was in the video game. Yeah,
yeah. Wasn't it FIFA?
No. That was the summer before. He was only playing FIFA, and apparently he was fat. But then he was playing actual FIBA.
That's fat.
Anyway, Stephen LeBron is right. Those three things, man.
He looked all right every summer. He looked all right.
Yes, I agree. He looked like that all season long. He just wasn't wearing a Mavericks jersey. It's so weird.
I don't know. He looked pretty svelte in the waistline.
It's insane. What are you guys talking about? Also,
it happens every year. Harden, the same thing. Harden goes from skinny to obese in 5 hours.
It's true. Like
It's Texas jerseys, or they add 25 pounds or something.
Everybody knows that. But you're right. Like, you could take a photo of any one of us. You could look very skinny. Oh, wow. Looking ripped or looking svelte. And then you could take a photo from a different angle or whatever. Looking a little. What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Bloated. So, yeah, anyway. Okay.
Perfectly placed workout mat right behind him, too. You just notice that?
I didn't see
He was on the mat doing a little abdominals.
Oh, is he doing yoga? Oh, okay.
I don't know.
The final tweet of the night.
Oh, okay. We got another one.
Yeah. It's from one of my favorites on Twitter and in real life. The Kid Mero. All right. Mero tweeted, in all caps locks, as he does, "Nah, the Zion shit is crazy. It's been weeks already. Also, do y'all remember how horny you were at 20? Imagine being that horny. And instead of privately making beef, sorry, I can't even get it out. And instead of privately making beef stroganoff in front of your laptop,
stroganoff.
This is an incredible line. You could hop in the DMs of the same people you make in hot salami to." That is the iconic Kid Mero there, tweeting about the story that everyone wants us to address, Tass, and that is the Zion Williamson story of the last week or so. Do you have any thoughts? Because I love that tweet.
Yeah, that's my number one thought. I had never heard that term before.
Making beef stroganoff in front of your laptop.
I grew up with the internet. I grew up with a laptop in front of me. I thought I had heard every single slang, euphemism. That came out of nowhere. Beef stroganoff.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Interesting. You can slide into your DMs, and everybody in the NBA has the capacity to make those dreams come true very quickly.
Right. So, interesting stuff.
I don't have anything on that.
Let me ask you this: how much of a deep dive did you do on the Zion story?
I did as much as I did for the baby Gronk. I watched one video. Somebody who decided to do a report on
it,
the old Twitter report, points up. This is the tweet. That is the person. This is the tweet. So that's all I did. How much did you do?
I definitely read way too many tweets from is her name Mariah Mills, the woman that was putting him on blast, because Zion announces that he's having a baby with
congratulations.
I guess now partner, at least the baby's mama, and then this other woman goes nuts on Twitter.
Yes.
With a lot of details of their, relationship, whatever you want to call it. And the idea that he could slide in the DMs instead of making beef stroking off and just do it in real life. I mean, look, he's got himself in some shit here. But he's a horny 20-year-old.
He's not 20.
He's a horny young guy with millions of dollars.
Still horny at 22.
But I guess he's having a baby. Congrats?
Yes.
Question mark?
Yes.
Period.
Congrats.
Period.
Yeah, congrats, period. Listen, we've done enough. We've done enough on this. I said Nate Robinson knows Chris Middleton's knee history. That's a stretch. This also, we don't know anything.
No. No.
Anyway, oh man, it sucks.
sounds like Zion's got himself in some mud water, is a comment from Sarah in the stream team. Fascinating.
She is a copywriter.
Great stuff,
right, Sarah?
From the Kid Marrow.
That's good.
And from Alex Wong and Bleacher Report for showing us Luca looking exactly like he always looks. But he's looking lean.
I thought he looked good.
Again, I don't understand. You thought he? Why aren't you saying he looks good during the entire regular season? This is the part I don't get.
JD's right. Those jerseys add 15 pounds.
Okay, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. All right, guys. Those are the tweets of the night. That's it for us here on a Saturday. Thanks for joining us live. Hit the like button, subscribe. We'll be back on Monday here from the Classic Factory at 10 a.m. Eastern. Get you ready for Game 5. And then later on Monday night, you know it, we're on Playback again. Second screen experience for everybody here in the States. International League Pass users, you're watching the game with us. We have had so much fun during these. Had a lot of people tuning in, so come join us here in the factory at 10 o'clock on Monday morning, and then later at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday night to watch the Denver Nuggets win the NBA championship. Ooh, there's your bulletin board material, Spo. What's that? What are you doing? Tying a bow?
Yeah, I wrapped up that gift.
There you go.
Put a bow on it.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Until Monday. Clipper Bro!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, I haven't wrapped a present in years. Now that I remember, I was tying a bow.
I didn't know what you were doing. You were like
tying a bow. Usually I throw it in a bag, tissue paper, carry it. I'm going to go home and wrap a gift.
You got somebody's birthday coming up?
Every day is a gift with my wife. I should give her a gift.
Good
what
save.
About you guys?
Good save. Yeah. What about you guys? I guess I got to go wrap a gift down for Norton.
I'm waiting. I'm getting a gift next week. It's Father's Day, man.
Oh, yeah. Eight too days from dads. Father's
I'm
Day.
I'm dropping
too many
hints.
Dads.
Too many
Zion,
dads.
There's too
exactly.
many dads, man. Yeah. All right. Embrace the weekend, people.
Oops. Hey, Clipper Bro.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.